The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this evening in the text in Genesis 19. We'll finish up the chapter with verses 30 through 38 as a unit. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure you're in the filling of God the Holy Spirit, that you've isolated the sin nature, and therefore are spiritually prepared, at least, to assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine. Otherwise, giving me your undivided attention as evidence of that filling ministry, and therefore advance ourselves once again this evening in the aspect of doctrine that is set before us on our plate as spiritual food tonight. So with that in mind, we'll give you an opportunity to rebound as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here now back in the text of Genesis 19, after Lot and family, minus his wife, escaped the judgment, albeit Lot appealing to God's permissive will for his own sort. And he heads to Zoar. The rest of the chapter here then fills in the blanks of what is the last recorded part of Lot's life as it reflects upon his person and his two daughters. We title verses 30 through 38 here, "The Origin of the Moabites and Amorites." Or as I like to title it, "The Story of a Drunk Father and His Two Lascivious Daughters." So that is essentially what we're looking at. We'll look at these verses as a unit. "And Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him." You have the wow consecutive, our verb to go up, ascend, went up, count perfect third, masculine singular, Allah. A-L-A-H. Lot, proper noun. From Zoar, you have the preposition men, followed with the proper noun, transliterated, Zoar. "And stayed in the mountains." You have the wow consecutive, the cow imperfect third masculine singer, our verb to stay or dwell, yashab, y-a-s-h-a-b. "In the mountains," preposition bet, with the definite article, follow with the definite article, and our noun for mountains, common masculine singer, absolute, har, h-a-r, "and dwelt in the mountains." "And his two daughters with him," as they are all the survivors, the Sodom Gomorrah operation. Wow conjunction. Then first or number two, adjective feminine dual construct, Shemaim, S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-M, and two of his daughters are noun for daughters, comma feminine plural constructed, third masculine singular suffix, Bath, B-A-T-H, with him, it's a preposition M, I am, with the third masculine singular suffix. And we're told why he now relocates to the mountains, for he is afraid to stay in Zoar. You have the conjunction key, because or for, K-I-Y, giving cause behind the effect. Then our verb here, afraid, is a cal perfect third masculine singer, Yara, Y-A-R-A. He feared, was afraid. To stay is again our verb, dwelt, stayed is first part of the verse. Cal here is a cal infinitive construct, Yashav, Y-A-S-H-A-B. In Zoar, preposition bet, Zoar, proper noun. And he dwelt, Yashav, repeated here. All this emphasizing this is basically his final place of inhabitants. Yashav is a cal imperfect, third masculine singular. In a cave, that is his new home. Preposition bet, in a cave, definite article, then our noun for cave, common feminine singular absolute, me'ara, M-E-A-R-A-H. He went Flintstone on everybody. He himself and his two daughters, they all moved in here. Preposition, or the pronoun, excuse me, third masculine singular, he himself, emphatic, who, H-U, and, vowel conjunction, to, shanaim, repeated, feminine, dual, construct, adjective, daughters, bath, with a third masculine singular suffix, B-A-T-H, a feminine plural noun. Verse 31, the daughters have a plan. Then the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come in to us after the manner of the earth. Well, consecutive, our verb to say, amar, cal, imperfect, third feminine singular, A-M-A-R. And she said, this one being the firstborn of the two, the eldest of the two, you have the definite article, then the common feminine singular noun absolute, Be-Kira, B-E-K-I-Y-R-A-H. The firstborn of women, your A-H ending makes it feminine. And she speaks to the younger, preposition L, E-L. And then the younger is a definite article, adjective, feminine, singular, absolute, Tasa'ir, T-S-A-I-Y-R, Tasa'ir. To the younger, our father is old. Our noun for father, common masculine singular construct with the first common plural suffix, our father, of, A-B. Is old, is a cal perfect third masculine singular, Zakan, Z-A-Q-A-N. And there is not a man on earth. You had the wow conjunction. First then is the noun for man, common masculine singular absolute, Ish, I-S-H. Followed with the negative ion, not, A-Y-I-N. On the earth, literally preposition bet, definite article, our common noun for earth, feminine singular, absolute, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S. On the earth or in the land, however one looks at it. To come into us after the manner of the earth. To come into us is the preposition laman, followed with the cal infinitive construct bo, B-O. Literally over us is the preposition with the first common plural suffix all, upon us, over us. After the manner of the earth, you have the preposition kaf, follow with the common both singular construct noun Derek, manner way, D-E-R-E-K, all the earth. The common masculine singular noun construct coal, all, K-O-L, the earth, definite article, erets, repeated. Verse 32, come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him that we may preserve our family through our father. You have the cal imperative, masculine singular, first of all, the verb to walk, hence come, the imperative, the command to come, halak, H-A-L-A-K. Let us make our father drink wine. You have the hifil, imperfect, first common plural, of our verb shakah here as a cohortative, hence let us, S-H-A-Q-A-H. Let us cause to give drink to. Then you have the sign of the direct object and noting their target here, their father, common masculine singular construct with the first common plural suffix again of, A-B, our father. Wine. Wine is a common masculine singular noun absolute. Yayin, Y-A-Y-I-N. And let us lie with him. Vowel conjunction. Then the verb lie is the cal perfect first common plural. Again, here this is cohortative. Let us lie down, literally. I don't have it transliterated. It's shakav, S-H-A. K-A-B, Shakab. With him, preposition in, with the third masculine singular suffix, I am. And, or that, we may preserve our family through our father. You have the wow conjunction. Our word translated preserve, may preserve, is a P-L, imperfect, first common plural, kaya. C-H-A-Y-A-H, literally let us live, hence preserve as it's dealing with their offspring, through our father, literally seed in the Hebrew. You have the preposition men, then our noun for father with the first common plural suffix of, and then its last word in the Hebrew is the common masculine singular noun, absolute, zera, Z-E-R-A, seed, hence family, the offspring. Verse 33, so they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. While consecutive, followed the hifil, imperfect third, feminine plural, shaka, they caused to give drink to, S-H, A-Q-A-H, their father, death, sign of direct object, common masculine singular construct, noun of, with the third feminine plural suffix, their father, wine, again our noun yayin, common masculine singular absolute. That night, you have the preposition bet, followed with a definite article, and the noun common masculine singular absolute, our word for night, la yela. L-A-Y-E-L-A-H, in the night, hence that night, on the night. Follow with the pronoun, third masculine singular, who. H-U, on the night, that one, literally. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, while consecutive. First, our verb to go in, she went. Cal imperfect third feminine singular, bo, B-O. The firstborn, definite article, or noun for firstborn again, common feminine singular, Bekira, Bekira, B-E-K-I-Y-R-A-H. And she laid down while consecutive. Again, our shakav verb to lay down, cal imperfect. S-H-A-C-A-B, be with her father, preposition eth, E-T-H, with the common masculine singular construct noun, third feminine singular suffix, father of. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Vowel conjunction, negative low, follow with the verb to know, did not know, cal perfect, third masculine singular, yada, Y-A-D-A. When she lay down, preposition bet, with the follow with the cal infinitive construct, shakav, with the third feminine singular suffix, S-H-A-C-A-B. When she purposed to lay down, literally, her agenda, a wow conjunction, and when she purposed to arise, preposition bet, same construction, cal infinitive construct here with the verb kum, Q-U-M, with the third feminine singular suffix, when she purposed to arise. Verse 34, and it came about on the morrow or the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, while consecutive, follow with the verb haya, H-A-Y-A-H, cal imperfect, third masculine singular there, came to pass, or came about, on the following day, on the morrow, preposition men, plus the common feminine singular absolute, makharath, M-A-C-H-A-R-A-T-H, at the morrow, on the following day, and she said, while consecutive, our verb is say, mar, cal imperfect third feminine singular, follow with a definite article, and a common feminine singular absolute noun, the firstborn, Akira, to the younger, preposition L, same construction we've seen earlier, EL, younger, the adjective Tasayir, T-S-A-I-Y-R. Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Plan works once. Why not give it another shot? Interjectory particle, hen, behold, H-E-N. I lay down. Again, our verb, shakav, S-H-K-A-V, cal perfect, first common singular. K-A-V. Last night is the adverb, emesh, E-M-E-S-H. Yesterday, last night, with my father, preposition eth, E-T-H, followed with our noun, father, of, with the first common singular suffix. Then let us make him drink, or cause to give drink to. Again, our verb to give drink, hifil, imperfect, first person, feminine, plural, first common plural, excuse me. With the third masculine singular suffix, shaka, S-H-A-Q-A-H. As causes, give drink to him. Wine, yayin, repeated, the noun. Also is your conjunction gam, G-A-M. Tonight is the definite article in our word for night, la yela, repeated. Then you go in and lie with him that we may preserve our family through our father. Then you go, wow conjunction with our verb to go, bow, cal imperative, again, the commands given to her sister, feminine singular. Lie down, again, is our cal imperative verb here, feminine singular, shakav, with him, same construction, third preposition, him, with the third masculine singular suffix. And let us live, or preserve, is our to live verb here as a PL imperfect first common plural with the wow conjunction kaya, C-H-A-Y-A-H, through our father's seed, preposition men, father of with the first common plural suffix, and seed zera. Verse 35. So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him. while consecutive. Then our verb to cause to give drink, the hifil of shakah, imperfect third feminine plural. Also, conjunction gam. In the night, preposition bet with our noun for night, the definite article, the yela, L-A-Y-E-L-A-H. That particular night is seen with the pronoun, third masculine singular, who, that follows, that one, H-U. matching the word night and gender in the masculine. Sign of direct object, the common masculine singular noun, constructed third feminine plural suffix of, their father, wine, yayin. And she arose, while consecutive, verb then to arise, cow, perfect third feminine singular, or verb kum, Q-U-M. The younger, ha, tasair, with the definite article. And she laid down with him. Vowel consecutive, again our verb lay down, shakab, with him, preposition in with the third masculine singular suffix. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Follow the same word order as previous verse, verse 33, vowel conjunction, negative low, did not know, yada, if cow perfect, when, preposition bet. Laid down is shakav as a cal infinitive with the third feminine singular suffix when she lay down, and when she arose or when she arose, vowel conjunction, preposition bet, our verb kum, again arose, and he did not know when she purposed lay down, when she purposed to arise. Verse 36, thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. Vowel consecutive, and then our word, first of all, word with child is the cal imperfect third feminine plural, our verb harah, H-A-R-A-H, and they conceived, literally. Both the daughters, you have the added feminine dual construct, our number two, shanaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M. Daughters of is a common feminine plural construct, bath, E-A-T-H. Of Lot, the noun, proper name, by their father's preposition, men, from their father, literally, followed with a noun, of, with the third feminine plural suffix. Verse 37, and the firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. You have the wow consecutive, then our verb to bear, bore, begat, the cow imperfect third feminine singular, yalad, Y-A-L-A-D, give birth to, and again the firstborn in view here, definite article, bekira. The noun, feminine noun, a son. Now for son, common masculine singular absolute, Ben, B-E-N. And she called his name Moab, and she called as wow consecutive, followed with the verb kara, Q-A-R-A, cal imperfect third feminine singular. His name is the noun Shem, S-H-E-M, common masculine singular with the third masculine singular suffix. Moab, transliterated exactly. In the Hebrew, M-O-A-B. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. He, emphatic pronoun use, he himself, who, is the father of, our noun of, for father, and then the proper noun here translated Moabites, denoting his offspring, the same word, Moab, father of the Moabs, hence Moabites, until this day is a preposition ad, A-D, or ad, followed with a definite article, common masculine singular noun absolute, or word for day, yom, Y-O-M. And as for the younger, she also bore a son, verse 38, and called his name Ben-Ami. Vowel conjunction, definite article, or noun for, or adjective, excuse me, for the younger of the two, feminine singular, Tasayir, T-S-A-I-Y-R. Also, a conjunction Gom, herself, emphatic, use of the pronoun, third feminine singular, he, H-I-Y. He is she in the Hebrew. Who is he in the Hebrew? And she gave birth or begat or bore our verb yalad, Y-A-L-A-D, as a cow perfect, a son, or noun ben, repeated. And she called his name Ben-Ami, vowel consecutive, our verb kara, Q-A-R-A, calum perfect, third feminine singular. His name, Shem, name, Shem, common masculine singular, construct with third masculine singular suffix. Ben-Ami, again, transliterated. B-E-N-A-2-X-A-M-M-I. He is the father of the sons of Ammon to this day. A pronoun who, he himself, father, noun of the sons of, literally the plural use of the noun for sons, Ben, Ammon, just the Ami part of the Ben-Ami, until this day, saying construct as 37, Ad Ha Yom. All right. Rereading verses 30 through 38. It was on the whole time. That's good. Hate to have to start all over again. Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. Verse 30. For he was afraid to stay, or he feared to stay in Zoar. And he stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. Verse 31, then the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. 32, come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father. Verse 33, so they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Verse 34. And it came about on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him that we may preserve our family through our father. Verse 35. So they caused to give drink to their father wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Verse 36, thus both the daughters of Lot conceived by their father were with child. Verse 37, the firstborn gave birth to a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. Verse 38, and as for the younger, she also gave birth to a son and called his name Ben-Ami. He is the father of the sons of Ammon to this day. All right. The analysis, verses 30 through 38. One, Lot's alternative to solicit God's permissive will to live in Zoar falls short of expectation. This is Lot's idea. Remembering back, God's directive was to keep on trucking, don't settle anywhere in the plain, and move and head straight for the mountains. Law has better ideas. That's the way it is, you know, with people that are maladjusted, disoriented to God and His directive will. They have an alternative, and their idea in their own mind, in their own thinking, for whatever SCA motivated reason, is always better. See, Well, his great idea doesn't last long, does it? So it falls short of expectation, whatever Lot had in mind otherwise, as he's running, as we know, under fear. So too, once he was in Zoar, he was afraid to stay there. And so went to the mountains and stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. So he gets to Zoar. He cannot settle in. Fear, obviously, was initiated in his original request to begin with. Claiming that he couldn't make it to the mountains, lack of faith, rest, etc. And it continues to gin in his mind and his thinking in regards to being in Zoar. Obviously, you've got to consider the situation. Everything around him is completely wiped out. According to the maps that we saw, Zoar was positioned somewhere between the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and Bela and the other city south of them. So he takes off. He heads to the mountains. And he finds a cave, which is a natural habitat, often used throughout history for travelers and refugees and things of this nature, as a place for protection to live at, otherwise, both he and his two daughters. So three, fear supplants his love for money. It's a dominant SCA trend to govern Lot's reversionism. The primary trend to begin with, recognizing that Lot is a believer, but he's a maladjusted believer. He is a believer that was motivated by money, the environment, things of this nature, the physical crudities of life, crudeness of life. That's what he pursued, to have wealth. Obviously, God's removed that stumbling block in his life by wiping out his source of income from all the wealthy people that lived in the plain. So that part of his STA is, if you will, been given a death blow, more or less, as in that he has no resource to draw from. But does that mean then automatically he's going to straighten up and do right in life? No, because he is in reversionism, because he essentially is negative to doctrine. He does not have the will and commitment to Bible doctrine otherwise. And another part of his STA steps right in, and it starts ruling his life. He lets it guide him and influence his thinking. And it is nothing less than fear in his life now. And again, while we might have somewhat of empathy in regards to his situation in this respect, it still is no excuse. And that is the way it is. Even when God may come in and wipe out a stumbling block, if a person is not positive, ultimately not positive, they will fall right into their old habits of reversionism. Otherwise, they'll just find another avenue in order to focus their human viewpoint agenda with in regards to their pursuit in life. So here, Lot supplants his love for money as a monetary reversionist, and now lets sin fear dominate his reversionism. For he was a believer that placed no real confidence in Bible doctrine, failing to faith rest. Hence his request to live in Zoar initially in verses 19 through 20. That is the first exposure in regards to this aspect of his trend, that he truly was not willing to put faith in God's word, in his promise. The angel gave him a directive and told him, this is what you do. Your life will be spared if you do these things. He appealed to his permissive will. The angel says, all right, God is going to spare Zoar for you. And it will not come under destruction in and of itself. And obviously, the reason is, as he claims, was that he didn't think he could get to the mountains on time before God would dump judgment otherwise. Yeah. that shows just the irrationality of the SCA human viewpoint thinking in life, really, you know, for law. It's irrational that God is delivering him and all this stuff and telling him he's going to be delivered if he just follows these orders, etc., and then turn right around and think he's not going to protect him and get him out of there anyway. See, I can't get out of here in time. The judgment will get me. So understand that about the STA. Human viewpoint. Often it does operate and think irrationally. Doesn't think logically in regards to the actual circumstance and situation at hand. The angel wasn't going to tell him to go to the mountains if he couldn't have made it on time. See? So he first and foremost shows that he has no real confidence in Bible doctrine, and he fails to faith rest. Point four, hence his request to live in Zoar initially in verses 19 through 20. Five, that failure to believe now continues to show as he places no confidence in the divine guarantee to protect Zoar. And his fear is explicitly now brought to surface in the very language itself, because he was afraid to stay in Zoar, see, in case one misses the implications to begin with. So fear is continuing to dominate him now. He still is not willing to place his trust in Bible doctrine. And that is often how the reversionist operates. They're not willing to believe in the doctrine and hold fast to it and God's promises otherwise. They've got to fix the problem themselves or whatever, see, in their own thinking and in their own mind, because they do not truly quote, believe, end quote, in active sense. Phase two. Six, the irony can't be missed as he ultimately ends up in the mountains as originally commanded by the angel in verse 17. Humor intended or not, it's there. Part of the original commands, of the four commands, of not looking behind you, not saying we're in a valley, escape to the mountains. That was the last command. And no, Lot had a better idea. I can't make it to the mountains. Let me go to Zoar. And as it all turns out, he ends up in the mountains anyway. See. And again, this shows and this pictures events as they often turn out in regards to those who reject doctrine, opt for something under a reversionistic approach life under their STA, and they end up essentially in the same place or similar, etc., what originally they would have done if they just stayed with doctrine. The ironies can't be missed in regards to life, especially as it is projected from those who are disregarding doctrine otherwise. Seven, he portrays a reversionist only willing to follow the divine directives as second and substitute to their own SCA agenda. Now one may think, okay, well, now finally he's lining up with God. No, he's not. It is simply a superficial gesture on his part, and he's driven by his SCA. And going to the mountains is now a second thing. He was unwilling to believe in God's directing to begin with, see. And often, that, again, that is the way the reversionist operates. Bible doctrine's good, and application of it, as long as it fits within my agenda. As long as it doesn't interfere with my STA operating the way I want it to operate. A lot of people use that excuse in regards to doctrine. Doctrine is a convenience. It's not the priority in one's life. And you see people that tend to go through the motions, as it may be in regards to doctrine, as we say, being in Bible class and things of this nature. But obviously, if it's not for the purpose of doctrine in and of itself, commitment to it, then it is spurred on by a secondary or another primary agenda, a secondary doctrine being secondary to it in regards to their application. And here you have Lot. He's going to the mountains like God originally directed. But it's only after he lets his SCA dictate to him what he's going to do in this respect. So, eight, the problem in such a case is the believer is still leading with their STA, see. They're still leading with their STA. That is the spiritual condition of the reversionist. They're not isolating the sin nature. They allow the sin nature to have rulership over their life in some form or fashion. And doctrine just happens to be thrown into the mix for some of them on occasion, see. So, obviously, understanding God's plan of obedience to His Word being that which He desires most from us, if you don't make God's Word first in regards to your decision-making, then you are placing it at best second in regards to your life, and truly it's not doctrine that you're pursuing, only as, again, as I might say, a convenience. As a rub the genie's belly a mystical approach sometimes that maybe I can get out of my problems this way. People do that a lot, you know, like the old Burt Reynolds deal, swimming out in the ocean, he's going to kill himself, he gets out there and decides he doesn't want to die, and he's praying to God all the way back, you know, how much money he's going to give God if he'll just let him live, blah blah blah, and it starts off, you know, $1 million, and by the time it gets down to the end, it's, oh God, I'll drop in a church for maybe on one of these days and say hi to you. See, that's the way it is with people. Yeah, there's really no commitment unless sometimes you're put under pressure, and then yeah, it is, but is it really? The case for not forsaking your assembly, because it shows evidence, at least, of those who are seeking to give a continuity and proof that they're serious about doctrine. They just pop in on occasion. What does that say? What does that say? I understand there's maybe reasons why people can't sometimes, but overall, well, far be it from me to judge on every case, but some things are fairly obvious in regards to certain types. 9, he is a believer that hypocritically finds reason to apply Bible doctrine only when it suits his STA need. Again, hypocrisy, as I've been pointing out, is part of the Achilles heel evidence to Lot's life. It brought about the additional anger from the mob. It brought about the distrust, the unbelief of his to-be family in immediate relations in life. See, there is no hypocrisy in the truth. And right now, yeah, he's heading to the mountains, but it's in a form of hypocrisy once again in his life. It's not because he believed God and followed His directive will to begin with geographically. It's because now he's running under fear. See. Like I said, people, it's amazing how fast people can straighten up when they think their life's in danger. Believe me, I know. I've been there, done that. Hear gunfire going off, all of a sudden you're not as high as you used to be. You know? Come to earth. Reality hits. Whatever. Ten, he believes he can escape his fear by nodding to God, going through the motions of Bible doctrine. That he can solve his problems here. 11, yet he refused to let Bible doctrine be the dominant decision maker. We are here to reprogram our minds with the mind of Christ. And that is now what guides and directs us and leads us in all of our thinking, all that we are supposed to think, say, and do, see. And that is our dominant decision guidelines that our volition chooses to follow. for Lot, that is not his dominant decision maker. It's his SDA. That is what's dominating his decision right now, even though it happens to be in step with what God originally proposed to begin with. So, 12, he emulates, pictures the religious type making doctrine conform to their agenda. That's what he looks like. That's how he's pictured here. He is just simply a religious reversionist, as it's being illustrated in regards to the irony of him now going to the mountain. Whatever faith he had was not truly, as we would say, phase two positive in regards to doctrine. And again, how many times have a lot of us probably seen it? The religious types, they're willing to, as we say, nod to God, give God credit, do, etc., as long as it fits their agenda. As long as it doesn't interfere with other plans they have otherwise in life, under their sin nature, disregarding God's directed wills in those areas of their life. God is an exacting God. He's particular. He's the one that's perfect. And he says, all right, here's my plan. Now, the logically reasoning, thinking person said, well, if he's perfect, then obviously that's the plan I want. That's the plan I should follow. See? But for the religious reversionist types, they always think that they can do something and add to God's plan in some form or fashion. They can change it and make it better. Again, it points to a lot of the reasons why we operate as we do as a local assembly of believers, as a church, as a local church, stripping ourselves of all the programs and everything else you see out there in regards to the religious world. If doctrine doesn't, if it's not reinforced or brought out by doctrine, then truly, the best approach is just to stay away from it. See. 13, the principle here that's coming out from Lot's life, doctrine applied without faith, is no less than a mystic approach to life. And trust me, being raised up in a denominational world, that is much how the denominational world operates, under mysticism. Why do you think all the funnies got to wear a cross? Or Jesus did it this way, or whatever bracelet. Everybody's got to have their icons. It's their good luck charm. See. Oh yeah, you hear, well, it's my witness. You hear the excuses, but you know, deep down inside, you're wearing a cross because some way, somehow you think, well, this is going to protect me a little bit. Again, if you kick a jackass, he's going to kick you back sometimes. See, I've been there. I've done this. I know these things. Possibly why God makes me so zealous in regards to holding the tight line, because I got out of that bullshit. And that's what it is. People have this idea that somehow this is better than nothing. Well, we'll see at the Bema. And, you know, yeah, maybe it may save them a little discipline and time because they're able to keep their morals more or less in line and things of this nature. But we'll see at the Bema just how much people are able to cabbage in terms of SG3 and the prize. So doctrine applied without faith is no less than a mystic approach to life. If you don't really believe it, but yet you're genuflecting, if you will, catering to his directives for another reason, then why are you doing it? It's nothing more than Eastern mysticism, the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo people, you know? One of those few things I learned back in the days. It's funny they all smoke dope, but anyway, I stayed away from them after a while. But, you know, if you don't believe it, what is it then? Why are you doing it? That's my question. And it really is a check, truly, where your heart's at. It's a critique. Where's your mind at? In regards to why are you on doctrine? Why are you applying doctrine? Do you really believe it? Or does it fit some other SCA agenda in your life? Well, we all have to determine that ourselves. See, myself included. Further, we don't stop here with Lot. Lot is illustrative of the reversionist frantic search for happiness. The FISH syndrome, that acronym, F-S-H. FISH, frantic search for happiness. 15, he believed he could find it through the pursuit of wealth and environment to begin with. The wealth of the Jordanian plain area, as well as the beauty. See, a lot of people, that's what they pursue in life. If they got the environment, some SCAs, if they got the environment, they don't care whether they got the money or not, as long as they got the environment. Be a beach bum, as long as the weather's warm, plenty of warm water, girls running around in bikinis, or guys at the Muscle Beach, or whatever, you know, stirs the pot. No, that's fine. Some is a combination of both. And some of these things can obviously be a real pull and test in regards to people, determining on where God wants them to be. Well, Lot, obviously, we saw why he picked this area. Because at that point in time in history is one of the most affluential and prosperous areas and environmentally pretty areas in the region. So he begins, obviously, in his frantic search for happiness through monetary and environment pursuits. 16, now he believes that a change in where he lives, obviously, that's been kind of damaged, if you will, in regard to his pursuit. Now he believes a change in where he lives will make a big difference in his life. He picked Zoar. Huh? It's your choice. And then you hear the excuses. I picked this, I picked that. You know, I'm going to do this. Then they get there. Oh, this ain't working out. Well, why'd you choose to do that for? And often that is the way it ends up. When people leave with their SCAs, they're making these big changes in their life that think they're going to make them happy. Well, we'll see if it does. I can guarantee you, if they don't orient to Bible doctrine sooner or later, it won't. It may be a bandage and solve their little SCA problems to begin with, and soothe their ruffled feathers otherwise. But overall, in the long run, forget it. Forget it. They'll have the same OSTA stirred up, their same fears in life, etc., etc. And they'll find their same excuses that often they find to begin with. And what do you have? Nothing's really changed. I guess Solomon might be right. There's nothing new under the sun. See? So now he believes, point 16, that a change in where he lives will make a big difference in his life. 17, in his human viewpoint thinking, this change, quote, this change will solve my problem, end quote. I'm afraid here, I don't know if God's going to protect this area. I better head to the mountains. And this will solve my problem. This will alleviate my fear and bring me a modicum of comfort or happiness in life. 18, however, his SCA follows him wherever he goes. You can't shuck it unless you want to take the easy way out. 19, it is faith in Bible doctrine that gives one true capacity for God's happiness, and Lot fails to find it. It is what provides the measure of constant support of true inner peace, true happiness, is Bible doctrine. The SCA, as we continue to bring out, is never, ever satiated. You're not going to ultimately make it happy. It'll want something more, something different, whatever. In that respect. But faith in Bible doctrine is what gives us ground, bearing, orientation of thinking and acceptance and realizing in the darkness the light, and provides for us our mode of concentration in life on things around us, and gives us that solidity of calmness, appreciation, happiness otherwise. Everybody has their problems. You can be the biggest gazillionaire in the world, you're still going to have your problems. These things in and of themselves do not bring happiness. Even the rich, happy unbelievers of life have brought this out in words and songs, poems, things of this nature. See? The happiest person that's probably ever walked on this planet for the entire of their life was one person, Jesus Christ. Now look what he had physically. Not much. But within his own mind, he had absolute perfect peace and happiness within. Orientation. Yeah. That's why you can't wait to shed the SCA, you see. Because as long as you have it, there's going to be a conflict within us. Otherwise. So his faith in Bible doctrine that would have given him the happiness, he fails to find it because he refuses to orient to it, believe in it, and lets his SCA run with his life. 20, he was miserable in Sodom. We know that because of the New Testament saying the sensual conduct of the men was very oppressive to him. Being around these Sodomites disgusted him. That made him miserable. Yeah. He's miserable now in Zoar. He's under fear there. He can't relax, chill out. Sit back and have a drink and celebrate the fact that God just delivered him from mass judgment of all these people around him, him and his family, and only them? I'd be doing backflips, man, that God got me out of something like that. Not a lot. Now he's afraid. And now he's going to move to the mountains and find his happiness? Well, these verses are going to beg to differ in that regard, because he's going to be miserable also in the mountains. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen.